Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So for everybody out there wondering, like, when would Tom Brady or would Tom Brady give a phone call, text message, FaceTime, whatever they do, to Kyle Trask, you can relax. R-E-L-A-X, as Aaron Rodgers would not say to his backup quarterback. But no, Brady has finally reached out to Kyle Trask. I guess Trask let it be known on NFL Network late last week that it was took him a couple days at the draft. I mean, first of all, Brady was at the Kentucky Derby.
He's a busy guy. I mean,
he's Tom freaking Brady. Like, you know, he don't have time to call rookie quarterbacks when they're drafted, but he finally got around to it. And I thought what was interesting, Steve, is that he says, according to Trask, that one of the first things he asked him to do is, hey, when are you coming to town? Which he could have asked any coach that there's a rookie minicamp this week. He's coming to town Wednesday. But when are you coming to town? And let's get together and throw. You know, let's have some workouts. That brings on a whole another level of are they going to work out or not, which we can get into and what Brady's stance on that is. But, yeah, I mean, he's embracing this. I mean, I guess there's some people that may have thought, you know, with what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo and they, you know, somebody had to leave town and it was Jimmy and he had the owner's voice, you know, with Bob Kraft, the owner's ear, and they ended up trading him to San Francisco and all that. Maybe Brady would be put out maybe, but at this point in his career, I think he realizes, now look, he may play 4 more years. We don't know. They pretty much told Tom, you can play as long as you want to. But I think I'm not surprised by this. I thought that he would call him at some point and it's happened. They're gonna get together.
I thought he would call him and give him the wrong address to Byron Leftwich's house, so he walks in the wrong house. That way Brady's not the only one who did that.
That's right. Hey, go to this park. It's closed, but you
prank,
go.
A little prank, right. You know?
That's actually pretty funny. But, he didn't do that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he gave him directions to Berkeley, since we don't know if they're going to end up at the Advent Health Training Center or not. But he's embracing this. My 30,000 foot view of Tom Brady in the quarterback room, and of course, you know, I don't think he's threatened by either Blaine Gabbert or Ryan Griffin, let's be honest, but he's a really good teammate. Like, he's not a jerk, you know, he's not a guy that's standoffish, that, you know, isn't going to talk to a guy that's in the quarterback room because this guy may eventually replace me or whatever. First of all, no one's trying to replace Tom Brady, much less in Tampa Bay. I mean, the man put a Lombardi trophy in the case his first year, takes $25 million when he could make $45 if he wanted to, leaves a lot of money on the table for everybody else. So Tom Brady is good with everyone over there with the Bucs. And they did tell him beforehand that, hey, we may draft a quarterback, and I'm sure they told him it might be the kid up here at Florida. That has a lot of your qualities, which means he's not incredibly athletic. His arm was just okay. And, you know, I think Tom's is better than okay right now, but he reads things real well. He's going to be a good fit in the offense. Tom doesn't care. I mean, Tom's not worried about Tom. Tom is good with Tom, and the Bucs are good with Tom, and I think he knows that. So they got that out of the way, right? He's not a free agent. He's signed for 2 more years, and if he wants to play longer, they would embrace it. But Trask sort of, like, to me, it's funny, when he was interviewed, he was at the Dick Vitale thing, you know, for Jimmy V to raise money for pediatric cancer, which, by the way, he raised an obscene amount of money. Again, good for Dickie V down there. He's still kind of starstruck. I mean, I think Trask is like, yeah, it's really kind of neat. Like, you know, talk to Tom Brady, and he was great. He says, when are you coming to town? Let's get together and throw. I mean, that's got to be amazing for these kids that are as old as Tom Brady's entire NFL career. I mean, they didn't even know that there was football, and Brady was not just playing, but he was playing for the Patriots. That's how long he's been at this. So we're going to talk about Brady a little bit on Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. That wasn't the only news that Brady made, sort of since we last spoke over the weekend. He also got on a conference call, and this was interesting to me because Brady is not one to be very vocal about things like union issues, right? And he's been in this league a long time, and he's benefited from a lot of what has been negotiated with the union and the NFL players. But we're at a juncture now. It's a very odd time. You got the rookie minicamp, which starts this weekend. Players, I think, come in on Wednesday night. They're going to be on the field practicing Friday and Saturday. And the union has even said to the rookies, hey, we don't want you going to the off-season rookie minicamps. Now, to date, the teams that have had them, some have had them right after the draft, there's been perfect attendance. No one has actually skipped those. And frankly, I'd be a little nervous if I was a rookie and decided not to come. And I think that's a tough sell. But in as much as they're going to be union players as well, when you join the NFL, I can see why the union is telling them to stay away. But Brady got on this thing, and there was a conference call, and they said he made an impassioned speech telling players to stick together and to negotiate with coaches, with owners, and find a new pathway to the offseason that is not one that as it's designed right now, that includes offseason organized team activities, off-season training. They're not mandatory. They have one mandatory mini camp, but all the voluntary OTAs and things. The stance of the union is that, look, we don't need these anymore. You know, this was negotiated 20 years ago. We went through a whole year last season where these guys didn't have to come in. And I guess Brady likened it. It was interesting on the call, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, he said things like, look, what other sport asks us or asks their players in the middle of their off season, or even at sort of the beginning of their off season, to come in? And like, if you're a baseball player, you're not coming in January or December and throwing 95-mile bullpen, mile-per-hour bullpens off the mound. Like, you're just not being asked to do that. And even though these guys aren't in pads and stuff, their receivers are running full speed. The quarterbacks are throwing hard. And so, his stance was sort of like, I've been at this for a while. And when we negotiated these rules, it might have made sense then. It doesn't make sense now. It was 20 years ago. Let's get in here and let's stick together. Let's not go to training, to the off-season workouts. Let's be a union and make ownership talk to players about revamping a more lax off season where we don't have to come in at all.
Yeah, I mean, those rules, and you and Tom talked about this a couple weeks ago. I mean, a lot of those rules were when, players were out of shape. I mean, they came to training camps or to spring training, mm-hmm. and that was to lose 10 pounds and work out and lift a weight for the first time since you played last. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why those rules were, that's why a lot of those off season programs are. I mean, the NBA and the NHL, that once they're done for the year, they're done until they come back for camp.
Same thing with baseball, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some players that'll come in a few weeks early of spring training to do some stuff, but I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, football's the weird one that has all these different weekends and weeks, for months leading up to the season. Mm-hmm. Granted, they have the shortest season too, as far as in-game season, but. I mean, these players today are they keep in shape year round. I mean, they're not taking second jobs and sitting around doing nothing all off season and then come to camp to get in shape, because you do that, you're cut. I mean, there's no question about it anymore. I mean, it's a whole different environment around sports, and there's a lot more money involved in it too, which is why you have to stay in shape year round. Otherwise, you lose your job, and you don't want to lose that huge paycheck that comes with sports anymore.
And, what the owners would say is, well, these are voluntary. Right. It's voluntary, but they're taking attendance. I always get a kick out of that. Like, well, who wasn't here? And they can read you. They know the list of players who didn't show up. And in football, more than any other sport, and this is true from if you've ever been involved even in youth league, right? In football, when you miss a rep, when you can't line up at your position for whatever reason, say you're injured, say you're absent, say, you had something else that night, even from 10 years old on, that means somebody else is jumping in there, and you're giving coaches a chance to look at someone at your position. And like I said, more than baseball, basketball, any of that, football is one of those sports where it's such a next man up mentality that coaches fall in love with who's playing, not with who's not there. And so you'd have to be a really strong talent at any level to think that you're not going to lose your job, because everybody gets their job the same way, okay? Somebody got hurt, or somebody got to jump in and do a rep, and they were better than the guy that was playing that position. And so what you never want to do, even the greatest players on earth, including Brady, you don't want to give reps to somebody else, because you don't want them to have the opportunity that is yours. And so, you know, I know they say it's voluntary, and some players come and some players do occasionally stay away. Like, I don't think Jason Pierre-Paul, for example, has been, even though he has a workout bonus, has been one to do a whole lot in the off season, been hurt a lot for starters. But for the most part, they feel like, you know, yeah, you say it's voluntary, but if I'm not there, I could lose my job. And, you know, coaches will tell you that they want the rookies there as much as possible, because they don't know anything about the offense. They don't know anything about pro football. And once they get to training camp, you can't teach them, because now we're trying to prepare for whoever the week one opponent is that's coming up in about a month. So, you know, we've already sped past the orientation part of it straight to game planning. And so, you know, it's probably more important for young players, but they're also not getting paid. And this is the thing, you know, they get their checks. I think the NFL used to spread it out over 17 weeks. Now they're talking about maybe extending that and deferring it over 30-something weeks. But regardless, they're not getting paid other than so many $100 a day, you know, which is really essentially a per diem to come in there in the off season. And it's you know, it's couch money. It's what you'd find under the cushions for them. So they're not interested. And I can't blame them. Now, the big problem is, and there was a player in Denver the other day that tore his Achilles working outside the facility, and he has about $10 million now. He went on a non-football injury list because even though he got hurt playing football, he didn't get hurt in the facility, and he may lose $10 million as a result of it, you know? And that's the part that they're going to have to come to grips with, because unless they change that, you know, who's going to go to Berkeley Prep and throw? Or who's going to go to Montana with Tom Brady? Because you know these guys are still going to work out. And the league stance is, look, if you're going to still work out, why are you going to, you know, Anytime Fitness versus our strength and conditioning 10,000-foot, you know, weight center with all the doctors and the best trainers? Why are you going and doing all this on your own? So I see both sides of it, but I just think there's going to have to be a change to the offseason. And I think, you know, the genie's out of the bottle, whatever you want to say, it worked just fine last year. You know, I mean, we had an NFL season and these guys didn't get to do anything.
The easy way to fix this is you get rid of the mandatory programs and all that, but you open your facility year round to the players.
Perfect. Yep.
And so if Tom Brady wants to get together with his receivers, you go to One Buck Place and do it, or right, the Advent Health Center, whatever it's called now.
Sure. Sure.
You know, if the offensive line wants to get together and watch, well, yeah, no coaches. I mean, but the facility, it's the team facility. You're employed by the team.
Right. Lift weights.
You know,
run,
you may have to schedule ahead of time to make sure trainers are there or whatever else. And there may be some logistics with that.
Right.
But, you know, that way you're working out in a controlled environment. You're in your locker room. You got film. You got whatever you want there. And it's, you don't have to go rent Berkeley Prep or anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
I mean, make it simple. You know, open your facilities year round to your employees, which is what the players are, and let them go work out there. And there may be some limits on it, or, you know, I mean, okay, if you want to say, you know, there's only so many days a year you can do that, whatever, for logistics and whatever. Okay, fine, that can all be negotiated. But you know, don't make, you know, whoever, if Trevor Lawrence wants to get together with his receivers in Jacksonville, let him do it at the facility. You're under contract.
You're an employee.
You know, I mean, you can work out the logistics of, you know, how long and how many times or whatever because of staffing and training and whatever else you got to do. And, you know, there may be limits for meal stuff because of, you know, it's extra pay or, you know, there's all that stuff that can be worked out, but that's easy to negotiate.
I got news for you, too. And then I don't know if people realize this or not. Now, I can't speak for head coaches because they tend to worry about everything. I mean, because they're the head coach. But I can tell you this. I have not met many assistant coaches who think they should be coaching and practicing in the off season either. They want to be off and play golf like everybody else. I mean, seriously, they practice? You think they want more practices? I mean, this is the NFL season is such a grind, and it's such a war of attrition, literally, on your rosters that, you know, whenever you start training camp, be it the end of July, Now they're going to have three preseason games, a week in between, then start the regular season. Then if you're going to play 17 games this year with a bye week, so that's 18 weeks of the regular season, then you're going to go into the playoffs and maybe have as many as 4 weeks of the postseason and Super Bowl. I mean, you're talking about 23 weeks of football, not baseball or basketball or, you know, even hockey, which is very physical, but like knockdown, drag out, guys get injured every week football. And you're going to do that for, 24 weeks or whatever. I mean, I can see why when it's over, they want it to be over. And you're right. Maybe they renegotiate this and they say, hey, no one is coming in before middle of July, or no one's coming in except for weight training beginning, end of May or whatever you want to do. But I just think the biggest thing is that, when this started, and I remember it vividly, I could look this up and I may be wrong about the year, but I don't think I am, because I remember when John Gruden showed up to Tampa in 2002 before the start of the season, that he got hired in February. By March, the league had started this business about what was quote unquote organized team activities. Hell, it was training camp. And they have since modified that and said you can only have so many days throughout the summer. You can't have more than 3 days without giving the guys 4 days off. You can't have this many per week, that sort of thing. The media has to have access once every three OTAs. So they put a lot of restrictions and they shrunk it. They shrunk it down a lot. But that first year, I'm telling you, John Gruden had those guys out there, I think, pretty much Tuesday through Thursday anyway, if not Friday. And they were running two-hour practices. I mean, like they were training camp, but in shorts. And I remember Rondi Barber coming up to me and all but begging me to write something. He goes, Rick, he goes, it's freaking training camp. He's crushing us out here. We're running two-hour practices in March. He goes, I'm an older player. I can't do this. This is ridiculous. This is insane. We're not going to have anything left by the time we get to training camp. We're in Florida. It's pretty damn hot when you get to April and May. So, they've since cut it back, but definitely it needs to be modified, in my opinion. And I can't blame these guys. What's interesting, though, is the thing about Brady. He got a lot of pushback because Brady has not typically been, brought out there as a union guy. And I think the union called in the big guns. I think that they realized there's going to be some teams and some players that are going to start their off-season program, which is going to be this week, by the way, where they can actually come on the field with some coaches and do some stuff. And I think they're trying to keep the ranks together, as any union would. And so they brought Tom out there to talk about how it was and how it was negotiated and how they got to stick together and all of that. Otherwise, this is the same Tom Brady that a year ago during a pandemic, the union was trying to negotiate protocols about, making it safe in the facility and who was going to get tested and how often they were going to get tested and wearing, contact tracing equipment and all this. And in the middle of those negotiations, you had guys like Brady and, 12 to 14 players at Berkeley Prep in the middle of COVID with no protocols, no masks, no separation, no anything going out there. And they were the only team that was doing it that was working out on their own. And the union said, hey, for the love of God, while we're negotiating this, can you guys stop acting like COVID isn't a problem and stop working out? And Brady said, no. And in fact, that's when he came out and, they went back. I went back out there, saw them at Berkeley Prep after that memo went out from the union. And that's when Brady, texted out the, nothing to fear but fear itself whole comment and from FDR. So he's been kind of, on both sides of this equation a little bit, but I think they really needed him to pull the ranks together. And so he did. And, we'll see what comes of it when we get to really this week and beyond, because OTAs actually begin at the end of this month. And the Bucs have them scheduled. And if Tom Brady's not there, I don't think anybody's going to be there. All right. Before we talk about the Rays and the Lightning, got a lot going on there as well. Let's just delve in real quickly to a little more of the Buccaneers and the Glazer family. You remember, what was it, a week ago that one of the Manchester United games was essentially canceled because they had a bunch of people storm the pitch, as it were, out there at Old Trafford. And it was ugly, right? There's been an anti-Glazer movement for some time. Well, here comes Peter King, Football Morning in America, one of my favorite writers, former SI writer, used to have Money Money Quarterback. Here's what he wrote about the Glazers' ownership in his column of one of the 10 things he thinks. He said, and I'll do it in Peter's voice, "I think seeing the Glazers' ownership just lost a $240 million jersey sponsorship deal for their main Manchester United soccer team because of the backlash against hated owners. It'd be surprising if they don't actually seriously consider selling. It's not going to get better. I've read too many things about how the fans and the locals badly want the Glazers to sell. And considering the passion of the fan base, one game has already was postponed because fans stormed the field. The sensible thing is to sell." Okay, well, I didn't know about the $240 million loss of jerseys. That is surprising to me, and certainly that is a hell of a lot of money, if true, and I don't have any reason to doubt it. But I would say this: what I know about the Glazers is they have been disliked from the moment they bought Manchester United. That is not going to change. This idea of a Super League certainly may have been the biggest proponents or reason for it, or what have you. It went away quickly. Everybody had to buckle like belts when they got the backlash. But when it comes to things like, I don't know, owning the greatest sports franchise or most recognizable and profitable maybe sports franchise in the world, you're not going to bully them into selling. I would be shocked at that. You know, how does it end? I don't know. But listen, it's a business. It's their biggest business. I mean, do we think that if Bucks fans got disenchanted enough and stormed Raymond James and got a game canceled because they couldn't take the Bucks losing anymore, that suddenly the Bucks that the owners would sell? I don't think so. It would take a lot more than that. So I might be wrong. I'm going to disagree with Peter on this one. I mean, you know, whatever happened, and I've listened to some of the reports on the BBC, like they're embarrassed. They said, you know, you can protest. There's a lot of things you can do. What they did going on the pitch, that's not ever effective. You're not going to bully or threaten somebody into doing something with violence or you know, destruction or whatever they want to do, burn down the stadium. So they're going to have to find another way. But from the Glazer family that I know, they're not going to be intimidated by that. I mean, they've had to put up with a lot to this point. And they managed to hold on to that ownership for a long time already. And I, like I said, it's their number one holding of anything that they own.
Yeah, they did lose it. It was the Guardian in England reported it, that the Hutt Group was beginning a deal on July 1 that mm-hmm. they pulled out on their training kit deal.
Yeah.
That was $240 million U.S., 200 million pounds.
Well, let me just
and
ask
other
you.
Other sponsors are under assault too, but yeah, I
mean, that seems like an opportunity for somebody else. I'm not saying they'll get that kind of money.
Sure.
I don't know, frankly,
sure.
But I mean, it's still the brand of Manchester United is still Manchester United. I don't know what they would have to do to damage it to the point where they can't make a fortune off of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you know, who years from now, who knows what's going to happen? But short term, no, I don't see them selling.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this stuff happens in sports, whether your team has down years and you don't make as much or et cetera. I don't see this as being something that's going to force them to sell.
No, I don't either. Well, check out Peter King's column, if you will, Football Morning in America. Always good reading for sure. Let's talk about the Rays and them finishing up their road trip. They win 4-3 at Oakland, and that makes it a 5-2 road trip. They swept the Angels, which was a great series for them.
By the way, the Angels, woof defensively. Oh, my
yeah,
goodness. They
really
are
bad.
I mean, you know, we criticize sometimes Willy Adames because he'll miss a routine throw occasionally or, you know, name Brendan Lau make a mistake or whatever. But when you saw that series against the Angels and how much they were throwing the ball all over the field, it really makes you appreciate how good the Rays defense really is.
It is good. And listen, they benefited, you know, again on Sunday. There was a pop-up to the catcher that was misplayed.
By the way, Mike Brasso, run. Run. The ball's
yeah,
in the
yeah,
air,
what are you
run.
Doing? I've never seen anything like that before. He just stood there and literally didn't go until the ball went off the catcher's glove, hit the ground. And then, thankfully for him, he's got some wheels. He sprinted as hard as he could, but he was standing at home plate when it hit the ground.
Yep.
So he got to first, and that was
he could have been on second.
Oh, easily. And that was the start of a three-run inning that, you know, with a home run by Willie Adames tied the game. They were down 3-0 in that game. And, of course, they win it on a home run by Brasso. But, you know, I mean, the thing about the Rays is that they're always in close games. I've been impressed by the way they've been able to manage their pitching somehow, some way. They found ways to win. You know, with the Angels, and they did take advantage of all those errors that you just mentioned. The series against Oakland, they could have won 2 out of 3, maybe even all 3. They were in all those games. They didn't get the big hit when they needed to. The A's did, but that turned around on Sunday. Here's the thing. They lose Kevin Kiermaier again.
Breaking news, or breaking bones.
Jeez, man. I'm telling you, the guy – look. All, you know, every day I'm hustling. Yeah, you're hustling off to the trainer, dude. Like, there has to be somewhere in there a mama bear, right? You know, the old story of Goldilocks. Like, it's cool to hustle. It really is. But to the point of where you break yourself all the time, over and over again. You know, if you get hit by a pitch, or even if you're diving in the outfield for a ball, you know, to try to save a run, I mean, that's part of the job description. So is stealing bases. I have nothing against him trying to hustle to steal a base. What I can't understand is, just since I've been around, this has to be at least the third, maybe the third injury of him sliding, diving, whatever, into a bag. I mean, one time he got hurt sliding feet first into first, which you never should slide into first. But a couple times, I know I covered one game where he hurt his wrist sliding head first into second. Now he's done it again. And maybe this one's not as severe, although he woke up knowing that, you know, he wasn't going to be able to play for a while. And I think they have him on the 10-day IL. But I don't know. I mean, how hard is it? You can still hustle. You can still try to steal bases. Just go in the bag with your feet, man. You put your hands out there, and your hands are everything you do. You throw with your hands. You catch with your hands. And for gosh sakes, you grip a bat with them. So those fingers, any one digit gets bent out of place, let alone your wrist in this instance, you're done. You're not going to be able to play. And I don't know why. I just don't understand why he hasn't been able to learn how to slide on his butt and just commit to doing that every time. It seems like he gets hurt the same way over and over again to me. I don't know.
It really does. At least this time it wasn't sliding into first base, though. But
well, that's true. And then he went feet first. Then he's like, well, see? Yeah, well, don't slide into first base. I mean, that's the first problem. But it's unfortunate because he just can't stay healthy. They've had a lot of injuries, most of them on the pitching staff. Diego Castillo now is out again. You know, they've done a marvelous job, I think, kind of spackling that together. And actually, the pitching has been the strength of the team. They hit some home runs on this road trip. I mean, this was the thing. They didn't get a lot of hits.
9 home runs, I think. 16 of their runs on this trip were by home run.
That's right. And as Kevin Cash said, he goes, yeah, it erases a lot of questions. He goes, you know, you guys ask me all the time about, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position or why we didn't hit more. And really, they're still, you know, they haven't broken out of it as a team. They're just getting the big fly. They're getting the big home run with guys on base. And that's sort of how they won these games during this road trip. I mean, you'll take 5-2 any road trip, anytime, anywhere, right?
But
I mean,
especially the West Coast, where the time change and all that messes you up. You take 5-2 any day. Take that at home. You take the home stand 5-2.
And this has been the problem. They've not played well at home. It's inexplicable.
And now the Yankees are coming to town.
And now the Yankees, which who they own, and they own them in Detroit. They own them in Yankee Stadium.
They do, but the Yankees are playing better now.
They are. It's a big series. And then after they play, it's New York, New York. They play the Mets next. It's up to you, New York, New York. And then they go back. Then I think they go up and play the Yankees up there. So these next couple of weeks. But this ended like a 17 games in 17 days. Is that what they had before today's day off?
Yep. Yeah, by the way, the next road trip is Baltimore-Toronto, not New York. So.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. Why did I think they go to the Yankee Stadium again? Maybe
they do the June 1st. They're back there. Or Memorial Day, May 31st through the 3rd. It's a four-game series.
All right. Well, you know what they say about Memorial Day. That's when the season starts. So we'll see where they're at. But, I mean, look, they're above 500. You know, they've kind of gone back and forth. They're in it. I still think they haven't played their best. Injuries have been a big part of the story. Sad story about Chris Archer. He lost his mom while he's been on the IL. So yep. They had that to deal with as well. So a lot going on, and they've just had a rough time getting really any consistency at the plate from anybody, to be honest with you. But fortunately, they hit some home runs, and they had a good road trip. They just got to figure out a way to play better at home.
The really surprising thing is that Boston is the best team in baseball record-wise.
I can't believe that. I just can't believe that.
You know, and they're the Yankees and them are 3.5 back from them. So yeah. I don't anticipate Boston holding on to that, you know, playing 629 baseball the rest of the year. But through 35 games, it's pretty impressive. No one expected that from them this year.
No. Well, they got a new general manager. He's made some
good moves, Heim Bloom.
Yeah, and he got criticized for a lot of it, and you know, and they got, and they also have a new, the new old bench coach as well. So, you know, that sort of thing matters, and they're off to a great start. So I don't know where this is all headed. I still think the Rays aren't playing their best. They can get better.
They really are piecing it together at this point. I mean, you know, you got Fairbanks back, but Castillo goes on the IL. Kiermaier's on the IL now. You know, hopefully G-Man Choi's back soon. You know, he's been in Durham. Yeah, he's been in Durham. We're going to find out more tomorrow. We're going to be joined by Neil Solons on the podcast tomorrow. So we'll have everything on the Rays and the Wander Watch.
Oh, my gosh. They got a couple guys, including Wander, tearing it up.
Yeah, Vidal Brujan as well is tearing it up down
there. I mean, and there's your shortstop and second baseman of the future. Nothing against Willy Adames, but, hey, these two cats, they're lighting it up. And you wonder how long they – I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks in AAA, but you wonder how long they would have to do it before the major league team says there's nothing that they can do down there anymore to prove it. You know, is it a hot start? Are they going to cool off? How long they want to see them do this? But
well, the one interesting thing in the minors this year is that they're playing six-game series. So, like, Durham was in – Memphis all week playing them, and just seeing the same team. You know, I don't know if Memphis is any good. You know,
probably helps.
You know, were they going against a bad team or were they going against a good team?
Yeah,
and, you know,
I don't know.
And you're seeing less teams and less often, so I don't know. Although you're seeing the same pitchers probably over and over, so you know adjustments being made by the pitchers and the hitters. You know, I don't know when you finally say, hey, you know, this is all they can do in AAA, it's time to move them up. I mean, it's been 1 week. It's not ready yet.
Oh, I know.
But I don't know when that time will be. And I guess, their play and the eye test will be a big part of that, too. So,
and how they're playing in the big leagues, and can they use them? Are they going to help them win, push them over the top, all that stuff? I mean, that'll come down the road. But
I mean, you know, when Wander comes up and possibly Brujan as well, you're going to want to play them every day.
Absolutely.
So do you have a spot that you're willing to put them in every day, whether they tear the cover off the ball or struggle at first? Because you're not bringing them up here to, okay, you struggled for three games, you're benched. You know, that's not what you're doing. I mean, you know, they did it with Willy Adames. They did it with others in this system. You know, they brought in, and Willy Adames was up here for a while, struggled.
They sent him back down.
But they didn't just give him three or four games. I mean, they gave him a while.
Mm-hmm.
They said, this is your job right now. Now, when he continued to struggle, they sent him back down. He worked some things and came back up, and it was great ever since then. You know, so you know, when you call them up, you've got to be, you know, because you're kind of torn. You're in the hunt. You went to the World Series last year, took the Dodgers to Game 6. You're playing to win this year. Are you willing to let a guy come up and give him the shortstop or second base role or third base role and say, this is yours no matter what you do? I mean, we expect Wander Franco to do well, but you never know, you know, the first month or two of players up in the big leagues, how they'll do. I mean, you know, Major League pitching is a lot better than AAA pitching. So, you know, in your win now philosophy, it's, you know, do you really think putting Wander, whether it's third base or shortstop or second, wherever you're going to put him in the lineup, that you're willing to say, this is yours? While you're trying to win a World Series this year.
I'll tell you how this works. The problem is usually answered for you. Uh-huh. There's usually an injury somewhere, and usually the guy comes up because you've got somebody on the IL. Maybe he's out for the year, maybe he's not. But regardless, he gets his chance because somebody's not playing. if he comes in and it's an extended injury and the guy just takes off, maybe he doesn't get his job back. Or if the guy heals up, maybe you send him back down, not because he didn't play well, but because Willy Adames or whoever's spot he took is back healthy again. But I think it's going to take an injury and them needing these players to get their first bite of the apple. That's unless we get to the end of the year in September and they can expand rosters, whatever. But I'm with you. I don't think they're just going to arbitrarily say, you're in, this guy's out, unless somebody just struggles so mightily mm-hmm. that, you know, you're willing to ride it out with the rookie. But I'll say this. These guys, they got some talent in that organization, and they're going to be great, and they're going to be great for a long time. I think they know it. It's just a matter of you know, kind of walking that line between, you know, he can help us win now, and, oh, yeah, by the way, he hasn't played a whole lot of baseball, let alone at the major league level. What happens when he struggles? And do we want to kill his confidence? So somewhere in there they'll figure out the right timing, but usually I think their first trip up is going to be because somebody gets hurt and you can use them, and they're going to get, you know, extended playing time every day until this person's back. But we'll have to see how that all plays out.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The interesting, and I am fascinated by this game. I watched Florida play the Lightning the other day. And I realized that there was a bunch of Lightning players out, not the least of which was, you know, you don't have Stamkos and you don't have Kucherov. We know that. But then, you know, Victor Hedman was down. I think Jan Ruda was out.
Ryan McDonagh.
Ryan McDonagh.
So three of
was
your top
out.
Six defensemen, two of your top four.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Who are they really playing, right? But, man, was that a physical game and extracurricular fighting and just – I mean, I think the Lightning wanted to set a tone, I guess.
I think Florida did too. I mean, this went both ways where these teams could play each other for nine straight games. They're finishing. They got game two tonight, and then the playoffs will start presumably this weekend, and it could go seven games. They're going to face each other in the first round. So nine straight games against the team. And these two games, yes, they determine home ice in the series, but both teams are in the playoffs. Home ice is important, but at the end of the day, I think both teams were trying to send a message. I mean, Pat Maroon mm-hmm. going into the game said, you know, we want them to leave going, holy crap, that's paraphrasing, holy crap, that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, I mean, they went into the game wanting them to have that message. And Florida wanted the same thing, that, hey, you may be the champs, but we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and so it got physical. I thought the officials lost control of the game. And then they tried to get it back late, but by then the score had put it in a position where they weren't going to. We saw several fines handed out. Brandon Montour got $5,000 for spearing Pat Maroon, which led to his reaction, and he's now suspended for tonight's game. By the way, Tom Wilson, nothing in a suspension.
Yeah, that's
Pat Maroon. And in the video by the NHL, even said, well, he didn't really hurt him or do anything egregious. But because he was already being pulled away by the officials, he suspended the game. But Tom Wilson's okay, so... Mackenzie Weegar got $5,000 fine for high sticking Matthew Joseph. That game got it was well over 130 penalty minutes, I think, in that game. A lot of misconducts, a lot of players, you know, thrown out of the game early. And then we find out on Sunday, not only did Pat Maroon going to be suspended Monday night, Barclay Goodrow is now out indefinitely with an upper body injury.
That's a bad one.
Barclay Goodrow is the first guy on your penalty kill unit with Blake Coleman.
That's bad.
They're on that line with Yanni Gourde, both of those two. That's your shutdown line and your energy line, really.
Mm-hmm.
But when they say out indefinitely, you know, I don't know if he's back for the season. He might be gone for the whole playoffs. Who knows? I mean, it may depend on how far they go, of course, too. But they have not said out for the season. It's out indefinitely. So it's not even like, next week or 2 weeks. I mean, at that point, you've got to think a month or more for Barclay Goodrow. Yeah. So. If anything, it makes some decisions on your forward group a little easier True. Because one of the things was when Stamkos and Kucherov comes back, presumably Alex Barry-Boulet sits, or Mitchell Stevens, who played on Saturday night, and then you had to pick who else was sitting, Matthew Joseph, Ross Colton, would you sit Tyler Johnson? Those decisions just pretty much got made for you. Those guys will all probably be in.
Here's the thing that would concern me, and I might be way, way off base here, okay, because I know that you know, Vasilevskiy did not play the last two games, but he did play the last one. And no matter what you want to say about the extracurricular stuff and the power plays and all of that, they gave up 5 goals in their last two games in each game.
Mm-hmm.
That does not sit well when you're heading into the postseason to me. You know what I mean? Like, you can't give up that much,
mm-hmm.
especially with Vasi in net. But, like, that's just not the way to play. I mean, you don't want to ever put that out there on the ice. And so I think they need – whether they win this game and they get home ice, which would be obviously a big advantage if it went 7 games or whatever in this first round with Florida, I think you need to play defensively a hell of a lot better in front of your goaltender, whoever it is. And not give up that much. That's just.
Like I would said, agree. A couple things on Saturday's game. One, your defensive core included Frederick Claesson, Ben Thomas. You didn't have Hedman. You didn't have McDonough. You didn't have Ruta. 3 of your top 6 defensemen. Some of those goals were. I don't want to say fluky, but, I mean, the one that bounced and...
That was weird. Yeah.
You know, I can't hit a golf shot that good. How do you get a hockey puck to do that? you know, I mean, backspin. So there was a couple of those. I mean, there was one or two that Vasi probably wants back, but a couple of them, you know, I mean, those things happen in hockey.
Yeah.
Would you pin those on Vasilevskiy? No.
No.
Does he need to play better than he did Saturday night in the playoffs? Yes. Did he play poorly? No. You know, sometimes those things happen. You know, particularly when pucks take weird bounces and things like that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what's he going to do on that? Nothing. So, you know, did he play great? No. I anticipate he'll play tonight. I think if anything, you know, you might have wanted to rest him, but I think he'll want that bad taste out of his mouth of 5 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I would anticipate he'll play tonight, but they could rest him and play McElhinney instead. You know,
I
the question is
on the
defensive end too. We didn't even talk about. So Hedman, McDonough, Ruta all day today. Chris Johnston, a reporter for Sportsnet on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night, reported that Victor Hedman has had an injury since April 30th. That he'll need surgery in the off season, but he's going to play through it this season.
Oh gosh!
Didn't know what the injury was, but his play hasn't been up to his standards of late, and now we know why. We don't know what the injury is, but it sure hasn't seemed like he's been the same Victor Hedman recently.
Right.
So, but at least, you know why now, but other teams also know that too, which isn't good.
Yeah. I just remember one of the games I was watching, and it was coming off one of his poorer games, and they made mention that, wow, Victor Hedman's really skating well tonight. When you say that, that means that he hasn't been skating well. So they were showing a noticeable improvement. But maybe the rest... Look, it's never a good thing when you have to have surgery and you're playing through something, right?
Yep.
So, but, you know.
Now, as far as McDonough didn't play the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game on Thursday, and then he was out for Saturday. Now, the question is, with 2 games to go, you're in the playoffs, Hedman, Ruta, McDonough, could any of them have played on Saturday if that was a playoff game?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm guessing... I mean, they're day-to-day. My guess is, yes, most of them probably could have, although we don't know. We know McDonough's an upper body injury. Ruta and Hedman are lower body injuries. That's all we know.
Mm.
You know, was it just precaution to keep them out, or could they really not go? Hedman, if Chris Johnson's report's accurate, and he's a pretty good reporter, probably he could have gone. They're just going to rest him these 2 games to get him as much rest as possible before the playoffs. McDonough and Ruta, who knows? I mean, McDonough, like I said, didn't finish the game on Thursday. Maybe he does need a couple days before he's ready. And so, but my guess is for at least McDonough and Hedman, they don't play tonight. Ruta, if he can, you might want to get him in. He's only played 1 game back since being back from injury. You may want to get him another game before the playoffs, if he can go. You know, don't know if he could. But McDonough and Hedman, I would anticipate you will not see tonight. And, of course, Pat Maroon and Barkley Goodrow are out now.
All right, good luck, boys. Go get them. Go get them.
And no Kuchar Stamkos dealt either. So.
Yeah, go get them, Syracuse. yeah, it sounds bleak, but I think the key is just that. If you're nicked up at all and you can benefit from the rest, and you've talked about this with me, we were just chatting before the podcast, there's not enough, even though you'd love to have home ice, and if you get to 7 games, it certainly matters. But there's not enough incentive to try to risk a guy getting further hurt and maybe losing him for the series versus, you know, you have to have, you know, the home ice in this series. Like, yeah, you'd like to have it, but not at the expense of losing one of those guys you just mentioned for a series. So,
yeah, home ice is not that important. If you need to rest a guy, you rest him tonight.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. You said it very more succinctly than I did. anyway, hey, it's a Sunday night, which means we're just starting our week, and it's a busy week coming up. As we mentioned, the Rays have finally get a day off after what's been like 17 days without one, and then they start their series Tuesday against the Yankees. Stick around for the NFL schedule this week. That's such a big thing, right? As to who's going to host that? Who are the Bucks going to host? We assume they're going to host. Who they're going to host? That first Thursday night, week one of the NFL season.
Well, much like we've talked about, Peter King in his column, he predicts it's going to be either the Cowboys or the Bills, which those were two of our three picks. We said the Bears were a possibility as well.
I think NFC team.
You said the Bills. I said the Cowboys would be my pick. But
the only thing about the Cowboys I'm not as confident with now is, and I have to go back and look, but I don't know that they do much intra-conference matchups for the first game of the entire NFL. I don't know if that's a thing. I know they don't like to play division games. A lot of people have submitted, hey, what about the Saints? They've opened the season 2 years in a row. Wouldn't it be great? Division rivals, you know, opening the season, Jameis Winston in Tampa, all that. And my thing would be, I don't think they want to do that for this marquee sort of national matchup and you know, disturb it that way.
Although I do think they do like playoff rematches.
They do, for sure.
So they did play the Saints in the playoff and beat them. So not only is it a division foe, but you did play them in the playoff. So if they were playing Green Bay, they may have done that as the game, possibly.
Right, and they've opened with the Saints the last 2 years.
Correct.
And they obviously didn't make the playoffs till last year, but I'm just saying, like, that's been their opener for a couple years running now, and it makes sense. That's their biggest rival and probably their biggest team that they're going to have to get over to win the division. I just don't think they're going to make them play a division game right off the bat. I could be wrong. I mentioned Chicago. It's a big market. I don't know if Justin Fields will be the quarterback.
Andy Dalton's QB1. I keep telling you. That's what they put on Twitter.
They changed the stadium to Soldier Field. So I think it's going to be just. But aside from that, Buffalo, just because, playoff team, went to the AFC Championship, marquee team from the AFC, the state of New York.
I think that'd be the best game.
To me, that's the best game.
But I think the star power of the Cowboys.
Dak Prescott, Jared Jones, all of that. Dallas, I mean, you know, America's team. They like them, love them, hate them, don't care, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's eyeballs on them. Whatever you do and write about the Dallas Cowboys, move the needle in the NFL. So that would certainly be a great one. So, yeah, I think it's going to come down to Dallas or Buffalo. I would agree with that. I've been saying Buffalo. You've been saying Dallas. One of us is right, more than likely, or we're both wrong. But we're going to find out Wednesday, and we're going to find out together. That comes out at 8 o'clock.
Here's what we do know: win.
By the way, that guy got a little heat. Pro Football Talk, talking about John Gruden, because he has not talked to anyone since the season ended. He didn't have a press conference before the draft. He didn't have one after the draft. He just has, it's kind of all on Mike Mayock now. And Jim Trotter of the NFL Network wrote a fairly damning story about John and concluded that he thinks the Raiders are worse as a football team than what they were when he took over. And the record certainly isn't good. So this is going to be an interesting year, very important year for the Raiders, which you got to believe that they're looking at Aaron Rodgers as much as anybody, because John always wants quarterbacks. But
hey, one more former Tampa Bay coach, John Tortorella, and the Columbus Blue Jackets have mutually agreed to part ways, which his contract's up. Not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he'll coach next year or go to TV or just ride off in the sunset. Who knows?
No. But. Coach for life. Coach for life. It's like it's a Supreme Court appointment. It's just different teams. You win a Stanley Cup, I'm convinced you can coach any team anywhere.
He'll be hired. Yeah, he'd be hired tomorrow if he wants to coach.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, he's a good coach. I mean, he brought Columbus to the playoffs. They've made the playoffs every year since 2016.
Right.
Got their first playoff series victory under Tortorella against the Lightning, who at that point had won 62
best team
games
in
the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a hell of a coach. He can wear out his welcome over time.
Right.
His style and his way of coaching. But, you know, if you got an up-and-coming team that needs some discipline in that, I'd hire him in a heartbeat. No question about it.
Where's he been? So was it? Did he go from the Lightning to Vancouver? Is that what it was?
Well, he's been in Vancouver. He was at the Rangers.
Or then the
Blue Jackets.
Rangers,
I don't remember the order. I don't remember the order of all this.
But we're like three stops away from the Lightning already. Like, we're down the tracks a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so he was let go in, what, 07, 06? No, maybe it was 08. I don't remember when he was let go here. It was before I was here, but I mean.
It's been a while. I mean, like, we're three teams later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going on our fourth team since the Lightning, since that Stanley Cup. But that Stanley Cup, and I'm not saying he did a bad job in those other places. I don't know. I would agree with you with Columbus for sure. And in fact, the fans, I think, were actually cheering for him and chanting his name or whatever in that final game because they understood that he was leaving. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like, if you know, there's just not a lot of guys walking the planet, right, that have won a Stanley Cup. And, you know, he's a good coach. But this has been, I mean, you know, that's a lot of teams now that he's led. So I guess he gets another job if he wants it.
If he wants it, he'll be hired. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's
no
amazing
question.
To me.
No question.
So we got that. And then we got minicamp. Minicamp starting up.
Maybe.
Players
arrive. Maybe.
Well, maybe. Players arrive on Wednesday, assuming they show up and don't listen to Tom Brady and others. And then they practice on Friday and Saturday. And we'll be returning to parts unknown on Sunday. And then we'll see after that if there's going to be OTAs or the veterans are going to come in or what happens. Maybe I'll have the whole off season off. Maybe I won't see anybody again until July, like late July. That'd be great. You know, back in the day.
You don't see anybody now anyway. It's Zoom.
Well, that's true. It's all Zoom. You know what? We are, this is kind of special. We're going to at least during the rookie minicamp, which is closed to fans in case you're wondering, We're going to do Zoom, of course, with players after their walkthrough at about 11:30 or so. And then after we get done with four or five of those at 1:30, which is kind of like the regular season schedule, I think they start practice. We'll be able to watch practice from, I'm sure, a very socially distanced area and with masks on, I would imagine. And then after practice, though, Bruce Arians is going to speak to us on the field. So we'll be some distance away, but we're actually going to be – I know. It's like talking to a real human being, which we've talked to Bruce. We did it at his golf tournament and things like that. But this is an NFL allowing him to stand at a reasonable distance, I guess, from us. And actually, we don't have to get him on a Zoom, which is progress to me. Like, hey, I'll take who I can get in person.
We've seen baseball in the NBA, now the NHL, relaxing protocols for teams that have gotten to 85% vaccination rate.
That's right.
Or their traveling party. I believe the Lightning are one of those. The Rays, if they're not already at 85, they might be just waiting the 2 weeks after your final shot to get to that mark. I think they're going to be one of those teams as well in baseball.
Yeah,
where they can do a little more on the road, go play golf, go out and do some stuff. I don't think you go to the club or anything, but you'll be able to do a little more on the road where you're not just sitting in your hotel room the whole time. So
I tell you, it's liberating. And for me, and I hope you guys all had a happy Mother's Day. I hope you honored your wife, sister, girlfriend, mom, whatever. I posted this on Twitter. I had not gone out to a place with my mom, who is 93 years old, by the way.
Wow.
And lives by her. It's remarkable. She's still sharp as a tack. And she got to see her granddaughters for the first time in like almost 18 months.
Wow.
And she's fully vaccinated. We're vaccinated, obviously. But we were able to take her out for like kind of a brunch on Mother's Day. And it was amazing, you know, just amazing that we were able to do that. But, yeah, I just think that as you know, more vaccinations, more you're able to do, more normalcy. I know the NFL plans on playing with full stadiums. There was a boxing match, I think, at what was it, Jerry's Place, Jerry World, the other night that had set a record, I think.
And I believe the Braves had full capacity this weekend against their series against the Phillies.
Yeah, so it's coming back. Whether you feel like you should go or not go, if you've been vaccinated, you certainly would be more protected maybe than not. But I think we're getting there. And by, you know, by July, August, September, when football season rolls around, like I said, I know they're planning on full stadiums. I don't know what that's going to look like or the requirements, but I'm excited about it. I just hope that, you know, we'll be able to sit down and actually talk to players or be in the building or whatever they'll allow us to do, but we're going to do it. So anyway, busy week this week for all the sports. Keep it right here on Sports Day Tampa Bay. We're going to have Neil Solons, the Rays pre- and post-game host, tomorrow to talk about the Rays and their upcoming series against the New York Yankees as they begin a homestand against the Yankees and the Mets. So for Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.